Proudly presented by Paul Everett's RV Country. This is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, visiting today with 91-year-old Mel Christie of Dallas, Oregon, originally from Benton County, Iowa. He served with the 10th Mountain Division in Italy during World War II in a rifle platoon with F Company of the 85th Infantry Regiment. When we left off, he was reflecting on the constant combat conditions in the Apennines in early 1945. Let's pick up where we stopped there. Mel, can you help us understand what that was like, what you were dealing with out there in Italy as a 20 and 21-year-old?
We all carried M1 rifles. The worst experience, of course, is getting close combat. You get the order to fix your bayonets, and that is ugly business, of course. Hand-to-hand combat is, well, we just don't talk about that.
And I don't want to ask you to talk about anything you don't want to talk about, but can you give us a sense for how frequent of an occurrence that was?
Well, that's pretty much at some time during the day, every time we were advancing. We took those mountains just inch by inch, foot by foot. You'd have an objective. Those hills all had numbers. And for a certain day, you'd have your objective would be hill number 99, and you just fight your way to the top of the hill. There would always be counterattacks, of course, both artillery and small weapons fire and automatic fire that would try to drive you back off the hill. And when you just sometimes get hand-to-hand combat. Once we got into Po Valley, of course, then we had tanks and motor vehicles and so forth that we went across the Po Valley in just a matter of a few days. And then the war ended as we entered the Alps. And there's been so much written about the 10th Mountain Division. The 10th Mountain Division was the only division in the U.S. Army that was specially trained for mountain warfare. And of course, as I pointed out, I was not trained for mountain warfare. I just ended up with the Mountain Division. I was trained in the flatlands of Texas among the cactus and rattlesnakes and so forth, but I fit into the 10th Mountain Division because just plain climbing hills.
How did you feel about the enemy?
It's hard to really hate anybody. I think it's very unfortunate. I've done some writing about that, that I had often wished that I could go over on the other side of the hill and shake their hands and get this thing over with. It's a bunch of foolishness that young farm boys from Germany and young farm boys from the United States had to go and kill each other because some nut on one side had all these grand ideas about taking over the country. What I think we need to do, instead of training so many troops, is start training some diplomats. Because most of these problems could be solved by diplomacy if we had people intelligent enough to do it and willing to do it. Because the other thing I felt so bad about the war is we destroyed so many beautiful old buildings, and I always felt sorry for the civilians. You know, the civilians, women and children especially, suffer more in a war than the armed forces do. We had it rough, but can you imagine what the women and children in these villages bombed out? We would see women carrying a few personal possessions and their children crossing no man's land when the artillery wasn't flying. We'd find them trying to escape the situation. It's just tragic. The things that go on during a war. It's really tragic.
You mentioned being in the Alps when the war came to an end. How did you get that news that Germany had surrendered, and how did you and the guys you were with react to that?
We were very glad it was over with. We, as we approached the Alps, there's a beautiful lake called Lago di Garda, Lake Garda up in northern Italy, and The road that ran alongside it, there was sheer cliffs came down to the edge of the water, and there were many tunnels. Well, as the German army retreated, they blew up these tunnels, so we could not advance. So we took to the water in ducks and made an amphibious landing at the top of the lake. The day we did our amphibious landing, the word came down that the German army in Italy had surrendered. The war ended in Italy sooner than it did in France. And our company, F Company, was trucked up to Bolzano, Italy, to help in the surrender of the German army, because that's where the German army headquarters were, in Bolzano, Italy. We were set up. And people do not believe this, but the day after the war ended, we were trucked into Bolzano, Italy, and we were accepting the surrender of the weapons and so forth. The weapons were being stacked in City Square, but we were actually walking down the streets of Bolzano, Italy, shaking hands with German soldiers. They were just as happy it was over as we were. None of them liked their job any better than we did. They were just doing what they were told to do, just as we were.
And I bet you were ready to come home.
Well, yes. Of course, the draft required you to be in it for at least 2 years or the duration of the war. So I still had a little time. In fact, we were not in Italy very long until they brought us back to the States on the way to Japan, because the war had not ended in the Pacific yet, and we were going to be part of the invasion force to invade the homeland of Japan. Well, fortunately, of course, because of a decision that Harry Truman made concerning the atomic bomb, I never had to get to the Pacific. And that probably, I know many people have said how bad it was to drop the atomic bomb on those people. From a personal standpoint, I think it probably saved my life, because otherwise I would have been a part of the invading force of the homeland of Japan, and that would have been a terrible massacre on both sides, I'm sure.
And there's 3 daughters, 6 grandkids, and 3 great-grandchildren who are very thankful for that, I'm sure. When was it that you were given the Bronze Star?
Well, this is interesting, because I never realized, I earned it sometime in Italy, but I never got it until about 60 years later, when for some reason I was trying to get a copy of my war records, and I was told that they had been destroyed in a fire in Jefferson Barracks, Missouri, when a fire had destroyed about half of the military records. And when I moved to Oregon, they promised they would try to find my records for me. And they did. All of my records had been in the fire. They had not been destroyed. They had just been damaged by water. And as a result, I got a package from the records department with all the ribbons I had earned during war, plus the Bronze Star, which I had not been aware I had been awarded one until about 60 years after. Well, this is when we moved to Oregon about 17 years ago.
That means something to you?
Well, yes. It's nice to receive awards for our efforts. I don't recall anything special that earned it. I'm sure a lot of other guys. I have never discussed with our 3 daughters. They've never asked me any questions about my war experience, and I've never discussed it with them. If they happen to hear this broadcast, they'll probably hear more about it than they've ever heard, because we never discuss it. Well, I know they've asked me sometimes, and my answer usually is, I don't really care to talk about it. It's a strange thing. I've never been very proud of what I did, because, well, we think it's wrong to take life, and yet it becomes our obligation to go do it. It's still, we just don't feel good about it, you know. I have made the statement many times, if you hear somebody bragging loudly about their war experience, I would make the statement that they probably were never in combat. Combat veterans don't discuss what they did unless they are specific asked, because we don't volunteer it. It's just not something you brag about.
And I get the sense, too, that it's a burden that you carry, that you've carried for 70 years.
That's true. That's true. We always wish it'd been some other way. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if it had been some diplomat that could have sat down with Adolf Hitler and talked him out of all his aspirations for taking over Europe? However, I doubt if they could have, because I think the man was totally crazy. But the thing that concerns me more from a political standpoint is how in the world a man like him could ever become the head of the country. The people had to let it happen. Now you're going to get me on my stump preaching, so I have to be careful. It could happen in this country if we don't wake up, because we have become a country where people are dependent upon the government. Such a large percentage of people are now dependent upon the government that if somebody aspiring for an office in our government promises enough things to enough people, no matter how good or bad a person they might be, they could become the president of this country just because of that. What percentage of the Germans supported Hitler? Maybe, what, 12, 15%? I have no idea. But a strange set of circumstances. Our daughter attended a private college that part of their requirement to graduate was to spend at least one semester studying in a foreign country. Our oldest daughter studied in Germany, met a German boy in school. They corresponded for years. He later came to this country for an advanced degree. He is now our son-in-law. So our son-in-law is German. Our son-in-law's father was in a German army. And I've spent many hours talking through an interpreter with my son-in-law's father. And to hear it from their perspective, they didn't like Adolf Hitler either. But they had no choice.
I'm going back to what you told us about being in Italy and shaking hands with the German soldiers. I guess maybe that was a little bit of foreshadowing to having your daughter marry the son of one of those German soldiers, huh?
Well, it seems it worked out that way. You know, I am convinced that many, many things in our lives are a result of divine, how do I put it? I think the things don't just happen. There's a plan, possibly a plan for each of us. And if we follow that plan, why, things work out all right.
Well, I'm glad that plan included the opportunity for us to spend some time together today. We're nowhere near done with the show. If you want a face to match with the voice, visit hometownheroesradio.com or go over to Facebook and type in Hometown Heroes Radio, and you'll find some photos of Mel Christie, not to mention all the other vets you hear from on Hometown Heroes. When we come back, we're going to hear about the experience that Mel had on an honor flight to Washington, D.C. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this. Paul Everett's RV Country has 8 locations in 5 western states, including Fresno and Indio, California, Bullhead City, Arizona, Laughlin, Nevada, Coburg, Oregon, right off the I-5, and 3 locations in Washington, Fife, Milton, and Mount Vernon. Over 55 years of experience serving the needs of RVers across the country and proud supporters of Hometown Heroes. Find a location near you by visiting rvcountry.com. If you spent much time listening to Hometown Heroes, you've probably heard veterans from all over America talking about the mission of the Honor Flight Network, taking World War II veterans free of charge to see their memorial in Washington, D.C.
I wanted to see it. I've always wanted to see it since they built it. And to see all those guys there that did survive, And then they get emotional. Pretty soon you get emotional too.
I tell you, that honor flight, I just can't believe what a wonderful deal it is.
Everywhere people came up to us, military guys and civilians, and wanted to shake our hands and thank us for all we did. I kept saying there were 16 million of us, you know, and I only did a little piece. But it was just an emotional high.
When it comes to our men and women in uniform, all gave some, and some gave all. A reality underscored as veterans visit the World War II, Korea, and Vietnam memorials and Arlington National Cemetery.
All those white crosses going to your heart, you just know that there's good guys there, but they had to die. For what? So you could live.
And while they are still living, Honor Flight gives the rest of us a chance to express our gratitude. Won't you encourage the World War II veterans in your life to put in applications for this all-expenses-paid journey to their memorial?
It does something for each of us who have been veterans who go back, whether we're a guardian or whether we're honored as a guest on the flight. It completes our life, really. It gives us a sense of fulfillment that we weren't able to have before, I think.
If you live near me in Central California, find Central Valley Honor Flight at cvhonorflight.org. Wherever you're listening, there's a hub in your area, and you can find it on the national website, honorflight.org. Sign up a veteran, volunteer to help, or donate to this important and time-sensitive mission. It's amazing what it means to these members of our greatest generation.
I'm telling you, they make you feel so good and so wonderful. Let me tell you, I can't preach enough about this. You listening?
The manner in which we were treated and greeted and acted toward was just awesome. It made me believe that the people of the United States are just wonderful.
Time is of the essence. Team up with Honor Flight today and help give our veterans one more tour with honor.